Hey, everybody, welcome back to the realm. It is another episode of Weird Weekly News. I'm Gina.
I'm Rich.
Rich, what are we doing this week for Weird Weekly News?
Scary stories.
All month long.
I know.
All
month long. I love it.
So we had people that submitted their paranormal stories, their experiences, some weird things that have happened to them. So we will be reading those every Wednesday in place of our Weird Weekly News. Unless, of course, there's something truly strange that pops up in Weird Weekly News, then we're gonna have to throw that in there too. So
okay.
All right. So this story was submitted to us by Maria Maldonado. She is an author who is also a clairvoyant who discovered that she had skills since she was a young child. And she submitted a story to us about something that happened to her when she was young. And this story has actually been published in other places. She has submitted it and had it published in other areas. So she's very talented in telling her story. And so she shared this with us today. So it is called The House on Joppa Farm Road. While scrolling on a social media site a few weeks ago, I came upon an interesting question. Why do you think people get into the paranormal field? And someone answered, because it may be their hobby. And another person said, maybe they want to see if ghosts are real. Those are reasonable answers, I thought to myself. And after taking in a deep breath, I decided to add my reason. I believe that sometimes people are chosen to become a part of the paranormal realm. They don't necessarily choose it. However, it chooses you, as it did not only in my case, but other family members as well. I've chosen to share my first paranormal experience with everyone. My first encounter wasn't my last, and I have been given the ability to connect with spirits until I become one. The beginning. Do you believe in ghosts, apparitions, a spirit or image of someone who has died and reappeared, but not always seen by everyone? Or perhaps you enjoy hearing stories about the afterlife, especially the kind that leaves you wondering if it is in fact, if it was fact or fiction. Well, what I'm about to tell you isn't fiction at all. It's all facts. I know this because I experienced it when I was about 7 years old. My family didn't have much money when I was growing up. Our mother was a single parent of 10 children. And although a couple of my older siblings had moved out on their own, there were still 6 of us left for her to raise all alone. She often struggled to pay the bills, and when she could no longer afford to pay the rent where we lived, she packed up everything we owned and we moved in with my oldest sister, Anne, her husband, Joe, and their children. It was an old house with lots of windows and a huge backyard, which was perfect for all of us kids to run around and play in. The house's exterior was a pale pink and white with some of the color peeling away, but it quickly became our home and we were happy to be there. My sister and her husband had rented the house from a friend, and when they had first moved into the house, they had noticed one of the bedrooms upstairs had a lock on its door. Thinking of the safety of their small children, they decided to remove the entire door. There wasn't anything out of the ordinary inside the room. It was empty except for a small carpet laying on the floor and a hole in the wall. Once my family joined them in the home, the bedroom would become the very place where my brothers would be sleeping, and we called it the back room. Our mom and us girls shared the bedroom right before you would enter the back bedroom. It was sometimes a bit crowded, but we made it work. No one ever questioned why the room had a lock on the door, even though the property was vacant. Little did we know that we were about to become acutely aware of the terrifying reason why it should have been left undisturbed. Everyone got along well with our new living arrangements. We helped the younger kids and was anxiously awaiting for my sister to give birth. The house had 2 levels, so my mom tried her best to keep us in our living area as much as possible when it was television time. I wouldn't say I liked the house from the moment I had first laid eyes on it. I would often get such an eerie feeling as though something wasn't quite right. You know, that kind of feeling you sometimes experience when you thought someone had whispered your name, but you're home alone. Or maybe you're almost positive you just saw someone or something run past you. Or you saw a shadow coming down your stairs, but you tell yourself it isn't real. You can hear your heart starting to pound almost out of your chest, but you realize you're just letting your imagination get the best of you. Well, unfortunately, what I'm about to tell you wasn't my imagination. I would be the first one to return home from school. My daily routine would be to come home, change out of my school clothes, get a snack, do homework, go upstairs and watch television or play with my dolls. I would pretend to serve them tea and cookies while sitting on the floor. However, this day would be unlike the others. As I sat on the floor playing with my dolls, I heard someone calling me by my first name. "Gwen," they were saying, feeling a little puzzled because I thought all my brothers were either at school or at work. I just decided to ignore it, thinking it was all in my mind. So I continued with my playtime, but I heard it again. This time it would be louder, a little dragged out, and kind of sad sounding. "Gwen," the voice said. It was a man's voice, not a voice that I could recognize, so I knew it was a stranger. But what is a stranger doing upstairs in our house? I didn't know how to react, so I stood up and slowly turned around, and at that very moment, I became speechless. What I saw was a strange man I had never seen before walking toward me in a stiff, jerky motion. His skin was ashy in color, and his eyes were black as coal without any white showing. I don't remember what he was wearing, but I couldn't stop staring at his terrifying, lifeless face. I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. And suddenly, I tasted something very salty. The next thing I could remember happening is hearing my mother's voice saying, "Gwen, what's wrong? Why are you screaming? And why is your nose bleeding?" And once she could calm me down, my mom asked me to tell her exactly what had gotten me so upset. I took in a deep breath and started to explain what I had just seen in my brother's bedroom. At first, I wasn't sure if she believed what I was saying because she had this look of confusion on her face. And after a few minutes of silence, she asked me again to tell her what I had seen. "You saw what?" I repeated my story to her. "I just saw a strange man in the boys' bedroom." And at this point, she could see I was genuinely frightened and upset. My mom then took me by the hand, and we both went downstairs to join my sister and her children in another part of the house. We shared my encounter with the rest of the family that evening. However, they weren't quite ready to believe there may have been someone else than our family living in our home. After what had happened that day, I no longer wanted to play upstairs alone after school. I started having nightmares, and my nosebleeds had become more frequent. I was no longer happy in the house like I used to be. Everything about it would just creep me out. The doors would open all by themselves, and the floors would creak, although there would be no one walking on them at the time. Oh yeah, and when the wind would blow through the cracks of the windows and doors, instead of the usual whistling sound that wind makes, it would make a slow, achy, moaning sound as if someone were in an internal state of pain. One day, my brother abruptly called me upstairs to show me something he had found in the bathroom. It was a spider floating around inside, which to this day, I am quite sure was a tarantula. I ran back out of there as fast as my feet could go, and I never looked back. My first thought was, did that man in the back bedroom put a spider in the toilet to scare us? Well, no matter how it got there, I knew I was never going to use that bathroom again. My happiness was fading away more and more with each passing day. I refused to be left alone. I had to have someone with me always. I am sure it was a bit annoying to my family having to escort me around the house, but they complied with my wishes. Our encounters with the sad man weren't over. It was a hot summer night, and we had a very intense thunderstorm. The flashes of lightning would light up our bedroom. The roar of the thunder made the entire house shake. You can hear the tree branches scratching on the window panes. Ignoring the heat, I decided to pull the blanket over my head in hopes of falling asleep faster. Suddenly, I was awakened by a loud crack of thunder, and as I sat up, a flash of lightning lit up our bedroom. And as my eyes were coming into focus, I wasn't quite prepared for what I would see standing in the doorway of my brother's bedroom. There he stood once again, the strange man I had seen that day after school. Not only was he calling my name again, but he was also pointing at me. I didn't know what he wanted, and to be honest, I didn't care. I was worried for my brothers who were in the same room with him and for us girls. I turned and shook my mom as hard as I could until she woke up. She raced to see what was going on and simultaneously turning on our bedroom light. She sat up in bed without speaking a word, and once lights came on, he was no longer there. I'm unsure if my mom saw him standing there. However, she jumped out of bed, went into my brother's bedroom, woke them up, and had them sleep on the blankets in our room for the rest of the night. She then hung a blanket temporarily over the back room doorway. The next day, it was decided the bedroom door would be returned to prevent anyone from entering that room. My family no longer felt safe living in this house, which we all shared. My sister and her husband found another place to live, and we did as well. A few years after we had moved out, the house was totally demolished and a new home now sits in its place. As an adult, I learned the identity of the stranger in the back bedroom. Apparently, he was a relative of the people who rented the house to my sister. For reasons unknown to me, he had taken his own life in that back bedroom, which had been deemed unsafe to enter when my sister and her family had first moved into the home. My brother Jimmy told us that he and others would often see the sad man looking out from the upstairs window while they would be outside. My sister has also informed me that he had visited her on numerous occasions. She said he never frightened her on the encounters. He appeared as a young man who seemed to be very troubled. You see, they both shared a brain disorder called hydrocephalus, also known as a water or fluid on the brain. Perhaps this is why they had a special bond. The memory of connecting with him haunts my family to this very day, and I often wonder what happened to that man since his home was demolished. Has the spirit finally been set free, or is he now trapped in a new room, still waiting for someone to help release him from his pain? Whatever the answer may be, I will never forget my experience at the house on Joppa Farm Road. Wow.
Very good.
What do you think? Okay, first of all,
good story. I liked it a lot.
I know. I was like, holy crap. Could you imagine experiencing that as a child?
No.
She's a very talented writer. And so just yes, her is. Being able to do that. But I'm going to share my screen really quickly so we can show the people that are watching this on YouTube, and we'll post this on Facebook. I'm going to show them. So this, she had sent us the article. She'd written this story. And this was the house. So the house on Joppa Farm Road would come alive. Doors would open by themselves. Floors would creak when no one was walking on them. And apparitions appeared to multiple family members is the caption for this. The house just looks haunted, doesn't it?
Yes.
Really haunted.
Yeah, that's one that I would say as I'm driving by, like I do on a daily basis to different places, I'll point out different locations. I'll go, oh, that place has got to be haunted. It's got to be.
So. You just know it by looking at it.
Just by looking at it from the outside, not even stepping foot inside of a place. Sometimes you just get that feeling, and I'm no way as sensitive or have any of those type of feelings or whatever. I'm strictly a skeptic, as everybody knows already. So, I mean, but sometimes you just look at something and you just get that feeling or whatever. I mean,
that eerie feeling.
But yeah, as a 7-year-old, I can't even imagine. I try to think back now. As we're doing these stories all month long for Halloween, if I had anything to contribute, and I really don't know that I ever did. And maybe it's something I just never really identified with at that point. And maybe I did have stuff happen, you know, but yeah, as a 7-year-old, I can't even imagine what she was, what goes through your head and how she, I mean, listening to the story and reading it, it sounds like she handled it the best she could. I do have questions.
What? I want to hear. What would you ask her? Maybe we can.
I would ask, the part that I have questions about is at the end of this particular story, when she says that her brother and her sister said that they had seen stuff. I'm curious if that was happening before, during, or after.
Oh yeah, after she had seen
them. After she had seen it, or did it happen before that, or at the same? And they never communicated,
right?
That this was happening,
and because some people have these experiences and they're too afraid to tell people. Right. And it sounded like her sister wasn't afraid of the spirit, mm-hmm. So maybe she wouldn't have said anything,
right? And the other one, maybe not a question, but maybe an observation is, I think her mom saw that night.
Yeah.
For her to jump up and act the way she did. I don't know that she would just do that on a whim. Bring the boys in that room.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think she acted appropriately for the situation, but it sounds like her mother handled it pretty well too.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be easy to freak out when stuff like that happens. And it sounds like everybody kept a level head, you know?
I have to say, I got the story in the email I was like, I woke up at 4 a.m, couldn't go back to sleep. So I shouldn't have picked up my phone. And I did. Like, that is the worst mistake. If I'm guaranteed to never fall back asleep if I pick up my phone, right? Because my brain gets going. But I read this story at 4 a.m. It's still super dark in the house. And I literally had just viewed a video that my daughter had made. And she had like made a TikTok when she was visiting last weekend. And she... there was like a light anomaly. I'm going to have to show it to you. It literally just comes floating, like hanging out right here.
Really?
So I already had that going on. We already have some creaks and stuff in here. Like, I mean, I already know that there's, you know, things here going on every once in a while. And so if I wake up in the middle of the night and I start thinking about it, my brain starts, you know, going on and on and on about it. And so then I read this story. I was like, it literally scared me. I think what scared me was the part when she talked about how the guy was like walking towards her in this like stiff jerking motion. But
that's what you expect, right? I mean, that's
oh my God. It's like every horror movie you've ever seen.
That's how it happens. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I just thought of, did you ever see The Crooked Man? Or no, it wasn't The Crooked Man. It was, there was the Crooked Man that was inside the movie. It was like one of the, what was the one Ed and Lorraine Warren? They went to England to like investigate Conjuring? This house. Yeah, I think it was Conjuring like one of the house, Conjurings. Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of the
They
movies,
went to England and there was that young family that was in there. And it was the mm-hmm. crooked man that was in there. And that was really scary. So, yeah, that's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, for her to describe it that way at the beginning of the story when she experienced that.
Right.
That was a very good depiction of it, because that's yeah. I think everybody can relate to,
right?
When you see it, like you just said, movies or TV or whatever, that's how you usually, that's how they always seem to portray apparition. It's not just, I mean, not all the time, but that's,
it's very common, like, you know, but, a man, you know, with the,
but do they portray, do they try to portray the when they do it in that method, are they trying to make it scary? Because I think we've seen other TV shows or other movies, whatever, when they do, you see an apparition, they're not doing that.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Not all the time, but I know, like, I think it's like in the ones where they're trying to elicit fear, like the movies that they make specifically. Right.
You know, I suppose as a 7-year-old, you're probably really scared. So
right.
that's what it looks like to you, you know?
Right. I would like to get a hold of these people that now have a house on that property and ask them, mm-hmm. Hey, do you have any paranormal? Like,
that would be very interesting. That would be a very, very interesting conversation.
So I wonder if she's reached out to them to ask them.
We will have to ask her.
Yes. So because, I mean, great
that would be
story.
Something to check on. Yeah. Cause
yeah.
So often you hear that does happen.
Yeah. I'd be really curious to know if like there's continued activity there.
Mm-hmm.
But Maria, thank you for your submission and for meeting with us and allowing us to share your story with everybody. So
yes, thank you. Very nice.
There's still a little bit of time left cause we can, squeezed in a couple more stories probably. So if you still have any stories or any kind of experiences that you've had and you want to send them into the show, we would love to read them as a thank you for sharing with us. So mm-hmm. with that, it's Halloween time, guys.
Spooky, spooky. Don't here forget to watch all your spooky shows. Charlie yes. Brown.
Especially the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
Great Pumpkin Charlie
especially
Brown.
Listen to our Weird Weekly News episodes every week mm-hmm. and every Monday we're going to be putting out a podcast this month in honor of the spooky month and talk about lots of cool stuff. So what do we have on deck? We're going to talk about the history of Halloween.
History of Halloween. Let me get out my handy dandy little cheat sheet here. we will be speaking on history of Halloween. We'll be talking about pet cemeteries. Ooh. We will talk about demonic possessions and crimes. We will be talking about ghost spirits and entities.
Yes.
We will be talking about Ouija boards and other tools to speak
yeah.
with the dead. Divination. That's always a fun one. And yeah. I believe yeah. that's the last one for the month of October for the Halloween stuff. And then we excellent. Start November and then we talk about turkeys.
We're going to talk about turkeys, all haunted turkeys.
Every week is going to be a different side dish.
And we're gonna talk about turkeys that like revolt on the farmers yeah. So in November though we'll go back to our bi-weekly schedule for our Monday podcast, but we'll be back with you every week for Weird Weekly News. So thanks for listening today, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, ciao,
bye.